Amen. Praise the Lord for that special this morning. And what a blessing it is just to be in church. I pray and I trust that you have sensed the presence of God in this place. That's what's most important when you come to church, is sense the presence of God and then be ministered to through the congregational music and the specials and then through the preaching of the Word of God. And so what a blessing it is, has been, and I'm looking forward to what God has for us in this preaching service. If you have your Bibles with you, if you look with me to the book of Ezekiel, Old Testament, Jeremiah, Lamentations, right before the book of Daniel, you'll find the book of Ezekiel, prophet Ezekiel. We're going to be looking at chapter 37 and reading verse 1 down to verse 10. If you'll stand with me this morning, we'll read the Word of God together. As I read, you follow right along with me. The Bible says in chapter 37, verse 1, "The hand of the Lord was upon me, and carried me out in the Spirit of the Lord, and set me down in the midst of the valley, which was full of bones, and caused me to pass by them round about. And behold, there were very many in the open valley, and lo, they were very dry. And he said unto me, Son of man, can these bones live? And I answered, O Lord, God, thou knowest. Again he said unto me, Prophesy upon these bones, and say unto them, O ye dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord God unto these bones, Behold, I will cause breath to enter into you, and ye shall live. And I will lay sinews upon you, and will bring up flesh upon you, and cover you with skin, and put breath in you, and ye shall live, and ye shall know that I am the Lord. So I prophesied as I was commanded, and as I prophesied, there was a noise, and behold, a shaking. And the bones came together, bone to his bone. And when I beheld, lo, the sinews and the flesh came upon them, and the skin covered them above, but there was no breath in them. Then said he unto me, Prophesy unto the wind. Prophesy, son of man, and say to the wind, Thus saith the Lord God, Come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe upon these slain, that they may live. So I prophesied as he commanded me, and the breath came into them, and they lived, and stood upon their feet an exceeding great army." Our Father and our God, as we bow before you today, again, we thank you for what we've already received. But now, God, as we've opened up your eternal word, and we're looking to this book of Ezekiel and this passage in chapter 37. Lord, I know that you have a message for each one of us here today through this passage. I pray, God, that you would anoint the preaching of thy word once again. Pray that you would use me as an instrument in your hand to bring forth your message to your people from your word. In Jesus' name we pray, amen and amen. You may be seated. What an interesting passage of Scripture. Especially if you've never read that verse, those passages before, that chapter before. Can I tell you, in reading that, the Bible is not a boring book to read. I mean, we read that passage of Scripture, how could this passage not get anyone's attention? I mean, you have to be thinking, what in the world? what messages God has from us through the book of Ezekiel, the prophecy of this book. Put him in a valley of dry bones, and then as he preaches, prophesying is just preaching, the bones start shaking and start flying around. And each bone goes to their skeleton, bone to his bones. And so you start seeing these thigh bones going to these rib bones and to the arm bones and the hand bones and the feet bones. And right in front of his eyes, he sees this, and these bones are just flying everywhere, and they're coming together, and they make up these skeletons, and these skeletons then start getting meat to them, and then the skin covers them, and before you know it, they have breath in them, and they're alive, and they make a great army. That's a powerful passage of Scripture. Definitely not boring reading. Now let's understand it. Ezekiel was a prophet of God's. That means that he represented God to the people. They did not have the completion of the Bible as we have it today. It was Old Testament. They did not have it, Old Testament. They had the prophecies, and they had the Pentateuch, which was the first five books of the Old Testament written by Moses. They would have had these books, and some of the other prophets that have lived had written down some of the writings. But Ezekiel was a prophet of God to the whole house of Israel. What do you mean by the whole house of Israel? Well, there was 12 tribes of Israel. Last Sunday night, we were studying a little bit about that. And after Solomon's sin, we find that right after Solomon's rule, he was the last king of Israel to rule the whole family, the whole house of Israel, meaning all 12 tribes. After that, we find that there was a division in Israel, and there was the northern tribes made up the 10 northern tribes, which are called Israel, and then the two southern tribes, which was called Judah. And then they lived with their own kings for certain years, but all the whole house of Israel sinned against God, and eventually God took all of Israel, the whole house, all 12 tribes, into captivity. And Ezekiel was one of the prophets of God to the children of God living in captivity underneath the Babylonian Empire. Now, God raised up the Babylonian Empire. God controls who controls the world. He raised up a heathen nation, the Babylonian Empire. If you look back in your history books and you'll study, it was a heathen nation, and they did some horrendous things on this planet Earth. But under the Babylonian Empire, they ruled pretty much the entire world, and including in that is the deportation of the Jews into Babylon. And now we find the children of God, who at one time had the most powerful army on this planet Earth, Israel did. Now, because of their sin and rebellion against God, they've been taken into captivity, and now they're living underneath the authority and the rule of the Babylonians. Isaiah's there, and Isaiah is the voice of God to speak to the children of God living now in captivity. That's Ezekiel. That's the book of Ezekiel. The vision that we find here in chapter 37 that God gave Ezekiel is explained in verse 11 to 14. Look there with me, because God, Bible interprets Bible. And so when you look at that and you say, what does all that mean? Well, if you look hard enough and study the Bible, you'll find that you can understand what God was speaking about. And he does it very clearly here in verse 11. Then he said unto me, after this vision, he said unto me, Son of man, which that's what they call, Ezekiel calls Ezekiel, the son of man, that's who he is. Then he said unto me, Son of man, these bones are the whole house of Israel. That's pretty easy interpretation, isn't it? The bones that Ezekiel is viewing now, that God took him in this vision, allow him to see, put him in the valley here, these represent the whole house or all 12 tribes of Israel that are living now in captivity underneath the Babylonian Empire. The whole house of Israel. Behold, they say. So he's actually talking to those that are alive in captivity. They say, our bones are dried and our hope is lost. We are cut off for our parts. Their life is over. God has rejected them in their minds. Here they're saying that God is no longer God. We're underneath the authority of the Babylonians. So we are forced to live with the Babylonians and obey their laws and live the way they want to live. Basically, is what it's saying there. Therefore, now that's what the people are in captivity. Now he goes back to Ezekiel and he says, therefore prophesy. The word prophecy means preach. Preach my message. Therefore prophesy and say unto them, thus saith the Lord God, behold, O my people, I will open your graves and cause you to come up out of your graves and bring you into the land of Israel. Now they're in the land of the Babylonians. The Babylonians now possess the land of Israel. But he says, I'm going to put you back in the land of Israel. And ye shall know that I am the Lord, when I have opened your graves, O my people, and brought you up out of your graves, and shall put my spirit in you, and ye shall live, and I shall place you in your own land. Acknowledged as being their own land. Then shall you know that I, the Lord, have spoken it and performed it, saith the Lord. So we have now the vision that God has given Ezekiel, and now we have the interpretation of the vision. Primarily, this vision that we read in chapters 37, 1 through 10, is given to those alive in captivity. The first ones that are to be affected by this vision would be those that Ezekiel was to preach to, as he was commanded to prophesy to them. Just go to them and preach to them that are in the land of Babylon as prisoners, if you will. So primarily, it's given to those alive in captivity. Verse 11 helps us to see that. But then also we find that this is also prophecy of the restoration and future kingdom rule of Israel. Now, they would be allowed at some given point to go back into their homeland, but they would never be known as their land. It would always be under oppression. It would always be under another rule. When the New Testament began, we find that the New Testament Bible days was under Roman rule. They were there in their land. Some of the Jews were in the land. They were in Jerusalem, but they were not under their own land. They were under Roman rule. That's when Rome ruled. The Roman Empire ruled the world. So that's the New Testament opening up there. But we find here that God prophesied and he revealed to them that not only would they be restored, but there would also be a future kingdom rule. Now, we know that's going to be the 1,000-year millennial reign after the rapture. Okay, so we have all this prophecy, but this idea of Israel in their own land and being acknowledged as a nation once again, that just took place. This prophecy was fulfilled in May 14th, 1948, when Israel became recognized as a nation once again. This prophecy, God looked ahead and he said, this will take place. And it didn't take place until 1948, but it did take place. And it's still, Israel is acknowledged as a nation today, living in their own land. Wow. So there's prophecy here. No doubt about that. Also, there was prophecy concerning the New Testament Christianity. Because he said there in verse 14, and shall put my spirit in you. Nowhere in the Old Testament did God's children have God's spirit living within them. the Spirit of God came upon them. And as it came upon them, they were able to win victories and win wars and do some mighty things. But it was only by the power of God coming upon them. New Testament, we find that Jesus, as he came to introduce the New Testament and to establish New Testament Christianity, which now has been established for some 2,000 years, what Jesus taught was that when he would leave, that he would send the Holy Spirit. And as he would leave and the Holy Spirit would be sent, the Holy Spirit would dwell within the hearts of everyone who would receive him as their personal Lord and Savior. New Testament truth. The New Testament truth is when you get saved, then you have been sealed by the Holy Spirit of God and you are God's, you're his. That's Christianity. That is Jew and Gentile. In this New Testament church age, there is no difference between the Jew. Now, there is a place for Israel, and they will be returning, and they will rule the earth from Jerusalem during the millennial reign, the millennial kingdom. That's all about the Jews and Jesus Christ being Lord of lords and King of kings on this earth. We understand. I can't go into all the prophecy there, but that's what it's talking about. So we find the prophecy was revealed to us there, but more than the prophecy, the New Testament Christianity was revealed there in that the Holy Spirit of God would be indwelling within those that would receive Jesus Christ as their personal Lord and Savior. So now we said all that and we have all this presented here to understand the message and principles to be applied to all people today. Old Testament stories are for us to learn from today. We're not living under the law. Amen. We have New Testament Christianity, and that's what we go by, the laws of Christ and what Christ revealed as the fulfillment of the Old Testament law. He himself was the fulfillment of the Old Testament law. The church is the fulfillment of the Old Testament law. Amen. So that's why we are in for 2,000 years now. We've been in this church age. So we've been living under what Christ has taught, but we still have the Old Testament and we're still to learn from that. And they are learn and apply these biblical principles. And so even in this passage that we just read, there are things that we are to apply and learn from today. The message I want to preach to you this morning, all that just as an introduction, the message won't be all that long, but the introduction was long. The message: dead or dry bones can live or be brought back to life. It's what God can do. It's what God can do. He can bring the dead to life. And he can take a backslidden dry bone and give it a purpose for life again. So with all that, and again, hopefully now you understand a little bit more. Now let's go back and look at the vision or the picture that God painted for Jeremiah or for Ezekiel here. Now it is a vision, and God worked in visions in the Old Testament, but it's been written down for us. And so God says, this is a picture I want you to get a hold of in your mind as well. The picture says, he carried me out in the spirit. Now we know it was a spiritual vision that he gave him, and set me down in the midst of the valley, which was full of bones. So we find here that Ezekiel is taken by God and set in the middle of a graveyard of skeletal remains. Now we know that because the bones come back together and they make an army. They make individual bodies. But when he first goes to it, he's in a valley, in the very middle of a graveyard. I don't know about you, but that in itself can be a kind of a scary thing. I remember when I was younger and we got together, some of us boys, and out running around, and it was around Halloween, and we thought how fun it would be to go to the graveyard at night and see who would be afraid and who wouldn't be afraid. Now, visiting the graveyard in the daytime is one thing. But visiting the graveyard in the nighttime at a full moon? Yeah. I mean, that was some 45 or maybe longer now. A long time ago. But I tell you, it had made an impression on me. I still remember that evening being in that graveyard, and I think every one of us were scared and was afraid to admit it. I mean, you know, you're in a graveyard around a lot of buried dead bodies. Imagine what it would be like being in a graveyard with all those bodies on top of the ground. And that's where Ezekiel is taken to a graveyard full of skeletal remains. Now, if I was a prophet then and God did that, I'd say, what in the world do you have me here for? And he is. God wants him to remember this. He would live the rest of his life with this remembrance of this vision that would encourage him to do what God wanted him to do for the rest of his life. So, picture the vision, sat down in the middle of a graveyard of skeletal remains. Just close your eyes and it'll be all right. Amen? Everything goes away when you just close your eyes. There's no fear, there's nothing there. Well, they say all hotels are the same with your eyes closed. I've been in some of this. I didn't want to open my eyes. I just soon not. You know, I see things crawling across the floor or whatever. I don't want to sleep in a place like that. But anyway, we go back here and we find here, the Bible says in verse 2, and caused me. Means he wouldn't let him close his eyes. Caused me to pass by them round about, and behold, they were very many in the open valley, and they were very dry. Now, he's given us a vision, the picture of this. He calls me to look. Not a pleasant sight. It's how God views those in captivity. Because in verse 11, now it's God showing him what he sees. In verse 11, it says, then he said unto me, Son of man, these bones are the whole house of Israel. God says, they're still alive, but this is how I see them. Dead and dried up bones. God viewed those in captivity because of how they viewed themselves. Some of them, now in captivity for some time, totally dismissed God as being real. And they're just adjusting to Babylon. They're accepting Babylonian laws. They're accepting Babylonian ways of life. And they have totally blocked out God from their minds. These are lost. These are dead bones. The Bible says that if we haven't received Christ as our Savior, believed in Him, and received the gift of eternal life, that we are dead in our trespasses and sins. Even though you might be alive, when God looks down, He sees you as dead bones. And then there's others that were dry bones. These are the bones at one time lived. These are the bones at one time they were aware of God, but now they don't think that they can live right because they're in captivity. Come on, how can I live the Christian life when society says I have to live a different way? When society says that, you know, why have church on the Lord's Sunday's really not the Lord's day. Why do you give up your recreation and why do you do this and why do you do that to be able to be in church on Sunday? And why do you continue to read the Bible? Isn't that outdated? You mean you tithe to the church? Why would you use your money to do that? And all this is going on, and the dry bones are those that at one point understood that and possibly lived by the ways of God, but now because they're in captivity and they're accepting the lifestyle of Babylon, the Babylonian lifestyle, they have now backslidden to the place when God looks to them, they're dry bones. Very dry. Very many and very dry. So I would ask you this morning, is there any dry bones here? God looking down upon Lighthouse Baptist Church and he looks into this congregation this morning, does he see a great army who's alive and ready to do the will of God and be the servants that God wants us to be? Does he see us as alive and as a great army that he wants to empower to accomplish what he has us here to accomplish? Or does he see maybe a dead bone in here? Somebody that, I don't know why I'm here, I don't believe in God. I'm just appeasing mom and dad. I'm appeasing my wife. I'm only here because of somebody else. I really don't believe in God. I don't believe that we have the very words of God preserved for us in this Bible. Can I tell you that God looks down and even though we can't see it, God sees some dead bones. And then God looks down and he sees those that say, you know, I used to do that, but I'm older now. Let the younger generation fight those battles. Let somebody else do the work. Let somebody else teach a Sunday school class, and let somebody else do the special music, and let somebody else do this, and let somebody else do that. I've done my part, and what you're really saying is, God, I'm retired from serving you. And if you ever look to retire from serving God, can I tell you that you will find yourself in a backslidden condition, and a backslidden condition is the same as dry bones in God's eyes, because you're not a part of the army anymore. You have deserted, or you have left the army of service to God. Amen. That's the picture. That's the vision. Many were lost. Many were dried up living in Babylon. Oh, and they would have an excuse because we're living in Babylon. It's how everybody lives. But you're not everybody. Especially if you know the Lord. Then there's a question. After he takes him to the middle of a graveyard, gives him this visual of dead and dried bones all over the place, skeletal remains everywhere. He wants to make an impression on him, no doubt. He asks him a question. Verse 3, look back there with me. He asked a question, and he said unto me, Son of man, can these bones live? What do you believe? The question, do you believe that these bones can live? At first thought, put yourself there in a graveyard with disconnected skeletal bones all around you. Understanding what you know about life. And you think, all right, this is a trick question, right? Because you say, there's no way. They've been dead too long. Now, I've seen people been brought back to life on the operating table. I've seen possibly somebody that has a heart stopped, which would have been looked to be dead. And somebody resuscitates them, and you bring them back to life. But wait a minute, Lord. These are nothing more than skeletal remains. And you're asking me if I believe that they can live. And so the first thought, no doubt, is no way. But then he realized who he was talking to. Amen, because look what he says. And I answered, not what was really on his mind, until he realized who it was that asked the question. Oh, Lord. Oh, Lord God, thou knowest. Basically, God, you can do whatever you want to do. Wow. Ezekiel knew who God was. Can I tell you the first thing when it comes down to doing the work that God calls us to do, and prophesying is the work that God calls us to do in this New Testament church age, and basically what is that? Preach the Word of God. And the first thing that you need to do in order to have powerful preaching is for the preacher to believe that God is able. I don't know how people go to church and listen to somebody get up and preach something that they don't even act like they believe themselves. They don't get excited about it. It's just a 1, 2, 3 points in a poem or whatever. Let me entertain you. And there's no power of God upon it. First and foremost, as we have the preaching of the Word of God, if we do what God wants us to do, we have to remember who God is and what He's able to do. And even as we look around and see the impossibility of these dry, dead bones coming to life, understand that God can bring them back to life. And the preacher needs to stand and do exactly what God tells him to do in order for God to do His part in bringing dead bones back to life. So there has to be a belief. There has to be the faith of a preacher who believes that God is able, or he'll stop preaching the truth. Well, yeah. God's servants need to believe that they can be revived. That's why you give your life to the ministry. Unlike any other profession. But then secondary, at some point, the dry bones need to believe. And not only do they need to believe, they have to have a desire to be part of God's exceeding great army. God has a purpose and a plan for you when He saves your soul. It's not to live however you want to live. It's to be a part of His great and exceeding great army. That's why He brought them together. They come alive, they come to the feet, and an exceeding great army. That's the whole purpose of it. Whole purpose of bringing dead or dry bones back to life. So we find here that, okay, we find the vision, the picture that God paints. We find the question. And then we find the next thing, God's command. It hadn't changed. Verse 4. Again, He said unto me, prophesy. Preach to these bones. I look out, I see pretty much everybody look like alive. Many of you have enough to cover your skeleton for sure. I don't see the skeleton sticking out. But I don't see what God sees. So what I'm to do is preach. And He tells me what to preach. He says, and say unto them, O ye dry bones. O ye dry bones. You can't preach anything more powerful than this. Hear the word of the Lord. There's no better preaching than Bible preaching. There's nothing that I can say that's going to be better than what God says. What I need to do is a preacher stand before dry bones and stand before a great army and preach what thus saith the Lord. Every opportunity we have. And God's army needs to take advantage and listen to it every opportunity they have. And the best thing that dry bones can do is to hear the word of God. God's command, preach to dead and dried bones. preach to them and tell them what God can do for them. I don't know, is there any dry bones up in the balcony? Can I tell you, God can do something for you. Can I tell you that God can give you restoration? God can give you a new lease on life, if you will. God can place within you a zeal. God can place within you an excitement once again to be a part of that great army of God's on the floor. God tells me to tell you what God can do for you. If you're lost here today, can I tell you, God can save your soul? If you're lost here today, you come in here on your way to a devil's hell. You can leave this place on your way to a home in heaven. If you're lost here today, you come into this auditorium and you come under the preaching of the Word of God as dead to God, and you can leave here alive unto the Lord. You came into this place spiritually blinded, and you can leave this place spiritually with sight, seeing exactly what God wants you to see. You can come into this place possibly with no purpose for life, and you can live here with every purpose for life. You can leave here knowing that God has a purpose and a plan for your life. God can do something for you. He can do for you what you need had to have done. That's what God told me to tell you. Yeah, He did. Only you know if you're a dead bone or a dried bone. Or if you're a part of God's army that just needs to be encouraged. But God sees you exactly how as you are. So then we find the results and we're done. Look at the results. Verse 7. So I prophesied. Just told them exactly what God told me to, as I was commanded. And as I prophesied, there was a noise. When you come under the preaching of God's word and God has a message for you, can I tell you that you'll hear something that others don't hear? Yeah. Amen. I've been accused of talking to men's wives before and learning everything about you. I don't do that. I've been accused by some wives or men. I've been accused by some women saying that their husband talked to me. I don't do that either. Teenagers from time to time think that I've already counseled with their parents concerning their need and what's going on in their lives. I don't have to do that either. All I have to do is be in touch with the Spirit of God who knows you better than you know yourself. And preach what God has for you whenever service you come. If you come to Sunday school, can I tell you, I believe that God knows who's coming before you actually get here. And He's prepared me to teach what needs to be taught. And for Sunday morning worship, God knows who's going to be here. He knew you were coming today before you knew you were coming today. And God told me exactly what He wanted me to preach this morning. That'll happen tonight. That will happen Wednesday night and every opportunity we get together, because that's how God works in the lives of His people and in teaching and preaching to dead bones in this generation. In this New Testament church age, it's how God works. It is. It is. So I prophesied as I was commanded. As I prophesied, there was a noise, and behold, a shaking. Hold on to that pew. Amen. And the bones came together, bone to his bone. Now these bones everywhere, they've been blown around by the wind. And yet when God started working, every bone knew exactly what skeleton it was a part of. And every bone went exactly where it needed to go to make up that skeleton. Yeah. Then said he unto me, prophesy unto the wind, keep preaching. Oh no, in verse 8 it says, then I behold, and lo, the sinews and the flesh came upon them. Once they made the skeleton that God wanted to be, and then God started putting flesh and skin, covered them above, but there was no breath in them. You can self-reform if you want, but there's no Spirit of God in you. That's why some come and don't stay, and they go out from us because they were never really a part of us. They were just testing the waters possibly, seeing if they could do it on their own. You can't do it on your own. Not indefinitely. So he knew not only did they need to have a physical change in life, they need to have the Spirit of God coming inside of them. So he said, prophesy to the wind. The wind represents the Holy Spirit. Prophesy unto the Son of Man. Say to the wind, thus saith the Lord God, come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe upon these slain that they may live. Spirit of God, convict their hearts. Spirit of God, empower the preaching. Spirit of God, do the work that only you can do in the midst. Amen. So I just preached. So I prophesied as he commanded me. And the breath came into them, and they lived and stood upon their feet, an exceeding great army. You see, the results, the bones reshaped. They received the breath of God, which brought spiritual life. Lives touched and changed by God. My life was changed in church. 8-year-old boy. I heard noise inside of me. My bones were shaking. My Sunday school teacher said, you need to ask Jesus into your heart. And I called upon the name of the Lord, and I got the Spirit of God inside of me. I was in church when God spoke to me about surrendering my life. I was in church when God spoke to me about being all that I can be as a husband. I was in church listening to the preaching of God's word when God spoke to me and said, these are children that you need to raise for me. And we brought them to the altar and we dedicated them unto the Lord. I was under the preaching of the word of God when God changed my life. Can I tell you, that's how God works today. But if you're never under the preaching, I'm not saying not that you go to church. It's not about going to church. It's not about being religious. It's about coming underneath the conviction of the Word of God. And the Word of God has to be preached in order for the Spirit of God to convict you. It'll change your life. God can take dead bones and bring them back to life, give them life. And God can take dried up bones and get them restored to where they can all be part of God's great and exceeding great army. Where are you at today? Dead, dried up, or part of the army? You'll make the decision before you leave. If I could have every head bowed.